You are listening to another Youth Ministry podcast. My name is Chris, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jared. We both currently pastor students and their parents in Eastern Pennsylvania and have been involved in youth ministry since 2010.
The following conversation will equip and encourage you in your ministry to today's youth. In various episodes, we explore biblical truths, practical tips, our ministry experiences, and learn from the insights of our guests.
Another Youth Ministry podcast is a ministry of the Board of Youth and Young Adults of the Bible Fellowship Church. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, whatever time you choose to listen to us. Jared and Tim and I are so glad that you do.
I'm so touched. Thanks for adding me in there.
Yeah, welcome, Tim.
Thank you.
It's not your debut that we were hoping for because Jared's not here, and we explained that in our last episode, episode 26. That was just Jared and I. To spare you the details, once again, the Lord's providence and our personal lives have prohibited the three of us from coming together, but hopefully by episode 29, the three of us will be team functioning full force.
Full force. Life is busy, huh?
Yes. Life is busy. And as Jared and I said in the last episode, I look at it as obviously there's way more rows than three rows, but a minivan. And obviously Jesus is, we don't even put him in the van because he's everything. But our families are the front seat. Our church ministries are the middle seat, and the podcast is at least the back seat. So we have to prioritize those things. But in our last episode, if you missed that, we talked about that we need to gather together, that that's an essential part of the church, but also for student ministry. We talked about from the Bible that we needed to gather, why the students need to gather, and then how the students gather. So the what, the why, and the how. This episode, we're going to transition into what in the world do we do?
Yeah, absolutely.
When we gather.
Yeah, you know, when Eagle fans gather, or for people that are going to a sports thing, they're coming together to watch the Eagles. You know, when classmates gather, they're coming together to learn from their professor.
Or they should be.
Yeah, right, right. And then, or when students of multiple ages, different walks in their faith, et cetera, they come together, they're gathering they're gathering to do what?
Right? Yeah.
That's our question. So we want to handle that and deal with that when talking to you about youth ministry.
Yeah, gathering is so important. But before we jump into talking about what we do, maybe as a little teaser, Tim, I know you are no longer the youth pastor, but you're still involved, and you're training your next guy. What are some of the things that maybe now that you're out of it, even apart from COVID, but what are some of the things about gatherings that you miss?
Oh man, I miss a lot. I miss the relationships that are developed with the students, and that connection that you feel. And I think we can all say that we miss that, the social interactions.
Yeah.
You know, that sense of building, seeing someone grow in the Lord, but you're physically watching them grow in the Lord. I miss the small group time frame. I miss the prayers. I miss seeing students just break down as they're convicted by a lesson they heard that night. I miss seeing leaders just pouring into students and feeling used as they serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to be missed. Student ministry has so much energy to it.
You know, that it's funny. This is podcast magic, because I was about, mine in my head was, and it's not on our script, it was the energy.
Yep.
That's something you cannot replicate online. It's something you cannot do virtually. The energy in the room when the kids are singing at the top of their lungs to the Lord, when their eyes are glued to you and you're feeding them the word of God, and in small group time when they're all engaged, that's the energy. You can't duplicate that without gathering.
They're in a critical point in their life.
Yep.
And so it gives us that same energy to know that, man, Lord, would you just capture and take their hearts and bring them to Jesus?
Amen. So we've talked about some of the things we do when gathering already. We've teased you a little bit. Before we jump into kind of laying out for you what gatherings look like, at least for us, and what we believe are some staples, let's talk about our practical tip of the day. And Tim, in his another youth ministry podcast debut, has that practical tip for us. So Tim, hit us.
You know, so this is important to me. It's dress according to your culture is my practical tip.
And if you could see Tim right now, wouldn't believe that that's important to him. He's wearing a collared shirt with a hoodie.
This is in. So You know, all right, Chris, you don't know that. That's okay. It's in. Dress according to your culture is, especially within youth ministry and or your area. You know, when if you could be in a area that might be lower income, an area that could be higher income, you could be an area that's more about business or another area that's laborers, but they're going to dress differently. So if you have a student ministry that, man, all they wear is shorts and t-shirts, you got to make sure that you're not walking in the door in a full suit, right?
Yes.
Or you don't want to walk in the door with a button down and a pair of khakis. You want to make sure that they're comfortable and that you're meeting them in their culture. So you might come in with, you know, jeans and a t-shirt, or you might even come in with a graphic tee and a pair of khakis or something like that. But that goes for everything. I mean, think about work, right? There's a dress code at work. So the same way, that's how our culture works.
Yeah. And just a couple of caveats to that, like, you know, dressing according to your culture, it might be dressed according to your culture at each specific event, or like,
that's good.
So your church culture might be a suit and tie on a Sunday, and that's what they expect of the youth pastor. We're not saying to always bow to that, but you should be aware of that at least. And then the youth group culture might be t-shirt and shorts. Yep. Like, so you need to kind of discern what's what. I can remember, and also different times of the year, I wear jeans and a t-shirt on Sunday nights. Nobody says a thing, but during the summer picnics that we do something different over the summer. I remember my first summer here, kids were making fun of me for wearing jeans to that. They were like, why are you wearing jeans? It's 85, 90 degrees out. So,
well, you know, when I wear jeans to a picnic, it usually means I'm trying not to like get involved with the sports or something.
Yeah. You're kind of sending a silent message. I'm not playing tonight.
I also wanted to say too, this is for men and women, the leaders that are dressing according to culture. You're also teaching the young men and the young women what it is to dress modestly and well for society.
Yep.
So that's huge.
Yeah.
So,
and I guess one more thing I thought about as a guy who ministered out in the West, because you said, you know, depending on income levels and stuff, there's more to it than that. I mean, there's out West, there are churches that there are ranchers that are millionaires, but they wear jeans, cowboy boots, and a flannel to church. Like, and then there are some cultures that, you know, honor is very important to them. So they might be in low income housing, but they're going to wear a suit on Sunday.
That's right.
Like, those two things don't always match. So just be aware of that, no matter where you're at. All right. So let's transition from that wonderful practical tip, thank you, Tim, into what do we do when we gather, okay? We believe that in most contexts, student ministry gatherings ought to be geared towards equipping believers, or at least young kids who know the Bible, who maybe they profess to be a believer, whatever. You're equipping them to know Jesus and be faithful in their walk with Jesus, where they are currently in life as well as in the future. So, we're not against more evangelistic ministries. We are against the bait and switch, watering down the truth kind of thing. So, but we are more geared towards an equip, not entertain ministry.
Right. And like you just said, I mean, we'll get to this, is that you're not going to create the ministry to be boring. It's going to be built for youth, students, their
fun
culture, their age.
Yep.
But you're additionally saying that we're equipping these believers so that these young men and women, that they would go out and invite their friends and be evangelizing to their friends to be in the ministry. You're teaching them to be disciples, that to make more disciples.
Yes. Like, you're not trying to win the world in with your program, but win the world through your kids.
All right. And so we look at this too. Some of the general staples of a youth ministry, things that you'd want to have, are teaching, and we would say Christ-centered teaching, singing, serving, mentorships, fun, and there's a lot more that can go into there. But there's room for differences, nuances, and creativity in every youth ministry, because once again, every culture is a little different, and every group may be in a different area of their spiritual walk. So.
And also, as you mentioned in our pre-recording conversation, is that there's a big caveat here, and you kind of applied it to singing, but I'll apply it across the board. You might not be equipped to do some of these things really well yet, and you might not have the volunteers. You're like, Chris, I can't carry a tune or play an instrument. And if that's the case, like, I know that the two guys we had on staff here who are all youth pastors before they were in other roles here at our church, neither of them can sing or play worth a lick. And so, you know, if they're in smaller context, they need to have a volunteer to lead that.
Yeah. So I think it is important to say, though, that, you know, the main thing, you need to be having the teaching of God's word.
Yes, that
you,
that
you
has
can't
to
just
be
say,
there.
Well, you know, I don't know if we have anyone to teach, so we're just going to get together and play games.
Right.
No. So that's, I would say that's
a staple. And even singing, I would say, is a staple, but it doesn't have to be professional with words and stuff. Just use a hymn book, song books, print out some sheets and have a kid start a tune. But anyway, let's start with a survey of the group. It would have been great to have Jared here, but we said the Lord didn't allow it. So we'll have to, if I think of anything he shared with me in the past, I'll bring it up. But Tim, we'll start with you as the fresh blood in the group. When you were a youth pastor, and I'll ask you to keep this succinct, but maybe if there's differences between your first church and your second church, you can share those as well. What did a typical Wednesday night, I think that's when you meet or met, look like for you?
Yeah, we met on a Wednesday. I think that's key.
So midweek?
Yeah, midweek. It was a midweek meeting. In Reading, we were combined. So the ages were combined, 7th through 12th. And a typical night would start off with a little welcome, dealing with what's coming on, what's coming up, how they can be connected to the church. It would move then to a game for all the students, just to engage them, to get some of their energy, their pent-up energy out.
Was it a group game?
Usually we did a lot of group games. Sometimes you would do, like, you might break them in small groups for fun and do competitions, but we generally did group games. But there's different ways. Sometimes you can even do individualistic games as well, like Minute to Win It, things like that. Then we would move from there to our worship in music. So we would transition to that point, calm them down, bring them and prepare them. Just say, you know, take this time to glorify and worship God for who he is and prepare your hearts for the teaching. Then we would move to teaching. Typically, I would probably teach about 30 minutes for the students and really aiming. I always told people this in youth ministry, aiming to your teaching to the older student, but also making sure it's applicable and understandable to the seventh grader.
Yes.
I've always heard that it's the seventh grader that always wants to be older, but the 12th grader never wants to be.
That's younger. Really, really good. And we didn't plan to go off in this, but I do want to make a point because I just had my evaluation for ordination. I'm sure you went through that. The elders evaluate you for our denomination or evaluate you together, and they share that evaluation. It was mostly positive. One of the things that came up in my teaching was one of the elders said, you know, sometimes geared more towards older kids. And I shared with the elder in evaluation, I said, I'm glad because that's actually my aim, but I always want to make sure there's something for the younger because, like you said, we want the younger to reach up. We don't want the older to feel like I'm not getting anything here.
I just put it this way. It's a quick thing. You know, if you say if you use the word sanctification, you don't just keep cruising along.
Right. You explain it.
Right. So that your older one goes, wow, that's a really neat thing. I just learned that doctrine. And they walk away with the word. But the younger kid goes, oh, I need to be growing in my process of salvation.
Right.
So
I always describe a word like that 2, 3, 4 ways before I move on.
So then after the teaching and God's word, we would usually transition into small groups. Small group, and over time, and small groups became a higher priority in my ministry. And then we usually, at our closing, we'd have our student leaders, which that can be a whole nother conversation. We had student leaders that would prepare some questions to take from the lesson to have a discussion near small groups for prayer time.
And when you say student leaders, do you mean adults or students?
These were actual students.
Okay.
Students that, you know, we believed as adult leaders were, God was working, that they had a testimony of faith, that they were good role models in school and inside the church, and could then learn and grow in their leadership skills.
Very good.
So that was mine. And then I transitioned to Coopersburg. The only difference is I put a lot more emphasis towards small groups and we're split. We have junior high, which is 6th grade through 8th, and senior high, 9th through 12th, and that has a ton of differences. Yeah. So maybe we can maybe talk about that through this.
Another time, yeah. Yes, yeah, Cedarcrest looks very similar. We gather on Sunday, and that was part of it. That's our culture. We do have some Wednesday night separate things, but as a whole group, Sunday night, and it was games. We actually do games mostly free-for-all style to let the leaders mix with kids. It's harder in a group game for them to have those ice-breaking conversations. And what I like about that game time is, like, new kids show up. I go say hi, but then I actually will go to leaders of their age bracket and students that are in their age and say, hey, so-and-so's new, find an opportunity to go say hi to them. And so that allows for that to happen more naturally than in group games, you know, in our setting. We sometimes do group games, but then we transition to the time for announcements and music, and then after music, which is led by students and worship and adults.
Right. So this is interesting. You start with game, then move to your hello.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
There's different ways to do it.
We used to do the hello in the beginning, and we realized a lot of kids showed up late. We realized that to get them just be quiet for a minute, and they didn't really care what you had to say. In the other setting, they're already there. They're waiting. They're anticipating you to talk to them. So that's the work for us. Cool. Then we moved into teaching. I used to teach like 40 minutes. I brought it down to 30, 35. And then we will go into small group time. So it's pretty similar.
But, yeah.
All right. Well, let's move into these kind of, we'll talk through some of the things we brought up, these crucial elements. I think first and foremost, we have here, there needs to be a time in the night for rubbing shoulders, games, hangout, all kinds of different things that this will look differently in your setting. But what we want is we want students to mingle with each other, to have fun with each other. This is the opportunity, like I said, for the leaders to go have non-threatening conversations with them, and just kind of break ice. Like,
yeah, this
it's important.
Yeah, this is that time just to get the people engaged into the night. Also, getting them talking with other students. Yeah, it's very good. I also wanted to add here too that games was not always my forte. You know,
yeah.
I was like, you know, I'm a big basketball guy or dodgeball guy, like let's just play the competitive games. I learned over time that I had some adult leaders that were so creative. So I started to give game time to those adult leaders that, you know, they would come in and we would be building spaghetti towers with marshmallows and spaghetti. Or the one night they were having all the students see if they could protect an egg in a box with some materials, and whatever egg could fall from the ceiling to the floor and not break would be the winning team.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it builds camaraderie and stuff.
Right. And I'm just saying, like, so for this rubbing shoulders, like you want to make it fun for the kids. You want to do your best with it. But if you're like, oh man, this is always the hard thing, I'm not that creative. Remember, you have people that help you,
right,
and they may be gifted better than you are, and be willing to let those leaders that are better gifted than you to thrive.
Yeah, so. And I would say with the rubbing shoulders as well, in a smaller youth ministry, you're going to probably do more organized stuff with the whole group. In a youth ministry like mine that's larger, but not even just larger, what I'm getting at is here is mine is very mixed. So Tim, your current place, most of your kids are in the same school district.
Right.
We're a regional church. So a lot of these kids don't see each other except for youth group. A lot of kids are new. And so to get them to like play an organized game with each other and feel, you know, normal, it's a little strange. So that's why we do the big open stuff to kind of let kids, and we help them meet each other and stuff, but that's what that time is for.
And another piece to this rubbing shoulders, if you do have split age groups, junior high and senior high, that's great, because then you can gear it to the different ages.
Right.
So
yeah,
that was really important, because there were certain stuff the senior high just did not like playing.
And they sit there with their arms crossed and I'm too cool for this. And
right. So it's always important, if you have that divide, make sure then you gear towards junior high and gear towards senior high. A simple example is the junior high were obsessed with Foursquare. So we could put a good game of Foursquare together and the junior high loved it. But if I tried to go do that with the senior high,
they were too cool.
They didn't want to do it. Yeah. So
yeah. I guess the biggest thing I want to wrap up the rubbing shoulders time is, it's not just filler. It's not just time that we have to just, you know, oh, we need to do that. No, be intentional with this time in your culture to break down barriers, to make kids comfortable with you and other leaders, so that you have those opportunities when it's time to talk about the substance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
And then we moved to time for singing. So you want to, for this, you know, this is our time of worship of the Lord, right? And we need to make sure that this is valuable, because this is a point where you're teaching students that it's not about them coming and going, oh, I love the sound of this music. Oh, it's so comforting. But it's corporate worship yeah. up to the Lord that worship can actually teach, and it can also, that it also is glorifying to God. It's about Him, not about us. But it's also preparatory for the time of teaching, that our hearts in those moments are many times led by the Spirit to be feeling what's going on in the room. But additionally, it may be breaking students down mm-hmm. By what they're seeing and singing as they're going through the lyrics. So
yeah, that, yeah. And it's, I think it's, so the students today are the church. So we're not saying that mm-hmm. it's just training, but it's also a training ground. You know, we use this for students to play in this kind of a setting, their instrument, and sing. And then yes. our worship leader will actually recruit kids from this into singing in the larger corporate gathering.
Yeah.
So it can be used as a training ground.
And I want to just chime in there. Is Chris is saying that his actual worship pastor here, yep. He helps with your...
Yes, he does.
See, so a lot of the bigger churches have that opportunity many times, and that's awesome. But I wanted to say, for those that don't, what you can do is you can... So if you start having students that are musically talented, you can start equipping them as a pastor. You may not play the guitar or sing, but you can teach them the value of worship and start coaching those students to do it. But then over time, your goal is to remember that, you know what? You're gifted like this. You want to get them using their gift in the corporate gathering.
Yeah,
So I just wanted to chime in there that we don't all have the blessing of a worship pastor that can do Wednesday night, our youth ministry and our Sunday mornings all at the same time.
Yeah.
But yeah, the other thing I wrote for this part, as I was talking to Chris earlier, is that you also have to let failure happen.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I say that is because students are not perfect. they're also not the best at preparation.
Right.
But you need to let them have moments where maybe they're terribly off rhythm.
Yeah.
Or maybe they have to restart the song in the middle of going because they started with somebody playing in the key of G and the other piano is in the key of B, right? You need to let that happen.
Or the slide train wreck.
That's right. But that's how you train. That's one way you're training leaders, that
yep.
they learn from that. And the next time they'll come back and they'll be a little more prepared.
And I'd say when that happens, you need to affirm them afterwards, because that can cause them to be mortified and they never want to do this again. You want to make sure you seize that opportunity to teach, which leads into the next thing, teaching. That there's a time for teaching and preaching, and we believe that. That's a big part of what Scripture teaches us to do when the church gathers, and the young people are no different, that the teaching needs to be challenging, right. rich, and I would say sequential. Teach them books of the Bible. Teach them doctrine. Whenever it's applicable, I will show them that what is in this text is what our denomination believes in our doctrinal statement. But it also has to be practical, has to be applicational. It needs to be contextual. You need to give them the truth, but what does this mean for them when they have a test tomorrow at 7:30 and they're stressed out of their mind, or they have a conflict with a kid on their basketball team? What does that mean?
That's right.
And so, Tim, time-wise, I mean, you kind of talked about this a little bit.
But. Time-wise is, I mean, it's different per every culture, again, but also you have to remember. So I think it's great to never break over 35 minutes for student ministry. But I also think you need to remember, if you have junior high, that's when you probably need to ask yourself, let me teach a little less, like 20 minutes, and give more priority for them to grow in these small groups.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, senior high, you want to challenge them and prepare them to be hearing and desirous of the preaching of the word. So, you know, you might be able to get 35 or it might go 40 one night, but you want to make sure that you're teaching them that it's the value. But you also don't want to ignore the fact that, you know, there are resources out there that tell us how long someone can engage or how long they can be taught. But I would also say that, so listen to that, but also challenge the student to realize that the best thing they can ever be learning is God's word.
Yeah.
So I that's a hard one, but I do think that 35 minutes, you know, if you're breaking over that with students, you might be losing them.
Yeah. There are people who will go an hour, and that's just, I remember I interned in a student ministry where I remember the guy, like, right at 35 minutes, I was like, oh, if you land the plane right here, what a great message. And he'd go for another 20. And I'm like, oh, you know, and the, even me as an adult, I was like, this is just too much.
I heard many people say, yeah, but you know, I think the Lord was leading me that way on this topic I had to go down. I was like, I understand
that. Yeah.
But I have also learned that, man, there, if you went down that trail for 20 minutes and you lost 90% of your audience.
Right. And I mean, we have to trust, the Spirit of God to use the Word of God, but we also have to be responsible with time.
Yeah.
And which, you know, leads to the next thing. One of my biggest mistakes when I first got here is I would go 45 minutes and I would cut off their small group time. And that is important. And so there needs to be time for in-depth application, checkup, community where they're praying. Mm-hmm. They're discussing, there's accountability. So let's say there's a point in your sermon, you're like, I really want to go deeper here. Well, maybe instead of you going deeper, you add follow-up questions that you give to your leaders to discuss it with them as far as that goes.
Yeah, and I just wanted to go right back to what Chris said, that your leaders that had prepared for those small groups that night—
relying
on you as a youth pastor to keep the time frame of the night— they can get a little upset sometimes.
I dealt with it. Yep.
Right. So anyways, but you want to leave priority to that because, you know, if you look back at, I look back at my life growing up, the areas that I most felt engaged, cared for, and felt the most growth was in small group context.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot from my youth pastor growing up, but I learned more from him when I was in smaller groups with him or with the leaders that he had in place. So those small groups, yeah, they're built for prayer. They're built for discussion questions. And I would encourage youth pastors to make sure in advance you give your youth leaders stuff to work with. You know, give them the questions, prepare them, make sure that they are well equipped to go into that time to teach and be with those students and discuss with them and go to prayer. And also, as youth pastors, make sure that not only do they have the stuff that they need, but you're talking to them what you would say is good prayer time, what you would say is good discussion, right? You want to create vulnerability. You want to create openness. You want to have a place, a church that is about repentance. So you don't want perfect righteous students. You want students that are relying on the righteousness of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which that's a whole nother podcast episode really is training your leaders to do
during that
small group time, which we can definitely venture there. So what we're getting at as far as what a night ought to look like, just to kind of recap for us before we move into something a little different, is that there ought to be a time for just rubbing shoulders in conversation, casual, not too demanding, fun, for the kids to just relax and be themselves. There should be a time for singing because it's commanded all over the Bible, and the church sings when they gather, and that's important to train them to do that. Time for preaching and teaching that is applicable to their life, and then a time for them to talk through that preaching and teaching to say, "Hey, I'm struggling this week." A time for now that their heart's really warm to have accountability and follow up and pray, et cetera.
I just want to separate that prayer should also be something you're teaching your students. And that's right in that small group time frame. But sometimes it can be wise to separate it out and even teach your students corporate prayer. And Chris, you have done that. That can be a whole nother conversation again. But there are so many ways that we should be praying. I mean, you need to be teaching these young believers the value and the importance of prayer.
Yep.
So,
yeah. Which goes into our for me special times that we've done. One of those things is Q&A. I've done this in the past. I've let kids ask questions and we've tried to answer them best we can. Kind of had a panel put together. It's gone well when we've tried it. Sometimes it's been crickets. Sometimes it's been they have. So I think to prepare them ahead of time, and then also talking about special topics. Taking a one-off night to talk about something in the culture, you know, Black Lives Matter. What does that look like?
The election, you
know, the gender identity issues, all these types of things. And then even like just different workshops that you can do with kids. We actually have had nights that we have spent time the entire, we've combined the singing and the teaching and the small group time. We've done a whole hour of corporate prayer together. And I could do an episode, we can do an episode like explaining kind of what that looks like. And you're like, an hour, are you kidding me? Like, no, it actually right. goes very fast. And the kids enjoy it.
Yep, I've done it as well. And the kids enjoy it because you're teaching them something of the value and the importance of prayer.
Yep. And it's got lots of diversity to it. Absolutely. Which let's talk about in closing, just some overall principles as we navigate all of these staples that we've talked about. So the first one is that the familiar and the regular are good. And what I mean by that is there's a fantastic book out there by Michael Horton called Ordinary that describes the Christian life and also the Christian's involvement in the church. And his point in that is, as Americans in the Western culture especially, we're so about the new, the trendy, the exciting, and we just want change now. We want exciting things now. And if there's not all this craziness going on or exciting things going on, God's not moving. He's like, look, the Bible's mode and method and pathway to sanctification, to be becoming like Jesus, is slow. It's progressive. It's mundane. It's repetitive. It's the same old over and over again that God uses step by step to do genuine change. And so you should have staples that don't move. But on the flip side.
Yeah, on the flip side, mixing it up and new is good. Mixing it up and new is good. So it is important, I would say, to just be evaluating what's working and what's not.
Yep.
I said that I put more value in small groups. That's because I started learning and hearing from my student leaders and adults that they're like, hey, you know, these small group timeframes, they're really needing more of it. So we actually restructured a little bit. I committed to teaching a little less, down to 30, and trying to get like a little less under there, so that they could have a solid 15 to 20 minutes. So reevaluating, or like Chris and I were saying, maybe your students are being late, so you need to mix it up. So you switch your game time to start and move your announcements. The one thing I want to say earlier is, but remember, anytime when you're mixing it up, remember that it's always content, God's word, over event.
Yes. Yep. I really like that. I mean, one of the things that we mixed it up is when I first got here, it was a lot of just the church kids, and the youth group was very much stagnant. So we went through Ephesians. We took 2 years. It was my first time. I went verse by verse, very slow, really unpacked the word. Right now, we have a lot of new kids. And I've kind of taken Tim Keller's approach that he took in New York City, where he wanted to feed his flock. But he says, look, I get young professionals for like 3 years max. I don't want them to only go through one book with me in those 3 years. I want to give them more of the Bible, you know, more of variety of the Bible. So I'm going through the entire Gospel of John on my schedule in less than a year, which is more overview stuff, but it's more basic stuff. And it's how we mixed it up. It's still feeding them. It's still good content, but that's kind of what it does. So in both those things, familiar and regular, and then mixing it up and new, doing either for the sake of either is not good. So if you just, I'm going to stay the same just because that's what our culture does, no. I'm going to just do new and trendy and good just because of what our church expects, what our culture wants, no. You should be doing one or the other out of the glory of God and out of best shepherding his flock, which leads to the fourth one or the last one.
Check the quality. Yep.
Quality assurance. Always be checking the temperature of your youth ministry. Stepping back. Is this working? Is this God honoring? Is this edifying? Is this about me? Is this about the leaders? Is this about the or is it about Christ and his glory and his church and the furtherance of the gospel? Well, we want to thank you for listening to this episode. Thank you for being patient with us. We want to thank Tim for joining us and thanking God that he's finally here. And
glad to be here.
Pray that we have one more episode to record today, actually. That'll be episode 28. And we are praying that episode 29, the three of us, Jared, Tim, and I, will be here. One last reminder, if you have a suggestion for our new name, it turns out Tim did not like a different youth ministry podcast. We'll see if he'll change his mind.
Enough.
Yeah, there you go. If you have a different name for us, a new name for us, send it to us. We're going to be working on that as a group. Until next time, we trust that God will richly bless you and your ministry. Listening to another youth ministry podcast. We trust God has equipped and encouraged you in your ministry to today's youth through our conversation.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments, questions, or general praise, connect with us on social media. We're on Instagram at @anotheryMPodcast or email us at anotheryMPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for leaving a review on Apple Podcasts and sharing with a friend or family member.